Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for another gift of life. Thank you for your kiss. Lord, since we enter this year, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for this past week. Lord, your cares and provision for us. Every way that you have shown your love and your cares to us, we are very grateful. We know that you care. Lord, we know you care. Lord Jesus, because you have made provision for everything that we need here on earth. And we are grateful to you. Thank you for standing true to your words, your word of promises. Lord, we are grateful that you are faithful and you can never fail. We appreciate you. That is our confidence in you. That, Lord, you don't shift ground when it comes to your promises. Nothing can change your mind. Nothing can force you. You are sovereign in your plan, in your program. We are grateful to you. You have expressed your love to us, Heavenly Father, by calling us to come follow this way. And we thank you. We want to appreciate you again for the privilege you have given us to come to your house, Lord, to come and hear the same, feed on the same, the spiritual food in due season. Lord, we are here. We ask that you give us grace to empty ourselves. Lord, that you might refill us, Lord. We lift up our cups, O God, and we say, Lord, come and fill us to the overflowing, to the glory of your name. Though many needs are here present, Lord Jesus, and you are the only one that can meet them, thou great Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Zikenu, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Shammah. Lord, we are grateful because these compound names of yours, they meet our needs. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We are asking you again this morning, throughout the entire day, that you will reflect these names in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Father. We know the sick will be healed. The weak will receive strength. There will be Holy Spirit baptism. Lord, there will be deliverance. You will vindicate your word. And at the end, the blessings will be ours and the glory will be yours. Thank you, Father. We present ourselves before you. We ask that you forgive our sins and that nothing stands between us and you as we plead the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 3. I'll read verse 14, and then Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation chapter 10, before we sit down, from verse 1 to 7. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when the lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders has uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. Welcoming ourselves to the house of the Lord again for the Sunday school. By the grace of God, we are continuing with the events that preceded the revelation of the seven seals. The title is The Background to the Revelation of the Seven Seals. So we are still on the events preceding the revelation, preceding the preaching, the revelation of the seven seals. So last Sunday, we were trying to look at the experience of the prophet, in Sabino Canyon. The prophet was driven to Sabino Canyon because of his the experience he had after the seven dreams of the brethren and then the vision of the blast, and he felt that was his going home. But the Lord hadn't spoken to him precisely about it, so he couldn't just take his own thought for it. And so he decided to go straight, because of, he said he was not, he says it's been very hopeful for him that he couldn't just, remain like that. He wanted to know what God was trying to get across to him. But, as a manner of prophet, they know how God deals with them. So he couldn't just take any until there would be a definite message to him. So he had to go to Sabino Canyon to see, to go and pray and have a definite answer from God regarding the vision of the blast that he had. And so that takes us, to Sabino Canyon to look at the experience he had there. We're going to take two accounts of that from, trying to get this here. Yeah, from the sermon. The seventh seal. The prophet narrated that story in the seventh seal. So I will just take a part of it. By the grace of God, by the time we study, the preaching on the revelation of the seven seals, we will look at the whole range of things that the prophet talked about in that line. Because there is an insight that he gave in that seventh seal. So we are going to first look at the bridge between the seven church ages and the seven seal. That was the sermon he preached just before he started preaching on the revelation of the seven seal. So he gave the account of his experience in Sabino Canyon. So we're going to take that account, and then we take the account of the seven seal when he was preaching on the seven seal. The account, he repeated the same account, but in a more elaborate way. Praise be to God. So, paragraph 6, the bridge, 6303:17, evening. How many in here has read What Time Is It, Sirs? Or has heard it, What Time Is It, Sirs? That has bothered me quite a bit. If you haven't, I wish some way, if you could get to hear it, or some way, kind of bothered me. I just wanted to drop this before starting the service. About a week or 10 days ago, I was so disturbed, I wouldn't take services or anything because I didn't know it. It seems like it could be something that was bad, and I didn't know just what it was. One early morning, I got up to go up into Sabino Canyon, which from the house is only about 30 minutes drive. Or 40 to the head of the Sabino Canyon. Then there's a road that runs 30 miles up into the mountain. Strange country up there. I can be here on the desert where it is 80 and 90 right now, and in 30 minutes being in 80 foot of snow. See, oh, top of the mountain. We were at Phoenix just recently where it was 20 something, 28 degrees. They had the swimming pool heated and people swimming. And about 40 minutes drive from there, it was 40 below zero at Flagstaff. See? That's the difference between the up currents and the desert. And very heavy for asthmatics and so forth. But now I went up in the canyon and I climbed way as high as I could go. I asked the Lord, while setting up in there, what all this meant and so forth. I was kind of bothered and didn't know just what to do. The experiences of the seven dreams of the brethren and his own vision, that he had that vision of the blast. He couldn't make up things. Though he had an idea, but he could not just lean on his own idea. So he really wanted to know what was going on. So that bothered him. He was thinking that would be the end of his life or whatever. So here he came to the Sabino Canyon here. Yeah. And so when I was praying, strange thing happened. I wanted to be honest. Now I could have fallen asleep. It could have been like a trance, or it could have been a vision. I am more or less inclined to believe that it was a vision. You see, that I had my hands out saying, Lord, what does this blast mean? And what does that he was praying with his hand out? So the experience that came after his prayer is what he was saying, that he could not say whether, you know, he fell asleep, whether it was a trance or a vision. He said, but he was more inclined to believe it was a vision. You see? That I had my hands out saying, Lord, what does this blast mean? And what does these seven angels in the constellation of the pyramid picking me up from off the ground and turning eastward? What does it mean? Yeah. What does it mean? I was standing there in prayer and something happened. And now something fell in my hand. And I know if you don't understand spiritual things, it may seem very strange. But something struck in my hand, and when I looked, it was a sword. And the handle was made of pearl, the prettiest pearl I've ever seen. And the guard, you know, I guess it is to keep your hands from being lanced, you know, while, you know, the people were dwelling in those days, you know, dwelling, this one will take sword, this one will take sword. So they'll be fighting with sword. There's a way they design the sword so that when you grip it, it cannot slip from your hand. I've watched that several times. I've seen it. Even you will see the drawing of the sword. The way it is also drawn, this sword, the way it's drawn also, you see that it's like it has an angle that you put your hand in that will fit your hand very well. So the people were dwelling was gold. Well, just have to understand Abraham's expression. You know, he didn't know how to express himself. And so the people are dwelling, the handle of the sword were made of gold. You know, that's what he's saying. That people that were dwelling, those, you know, the people who fight, two people fighting with sword. That's the meaning of dwelling. And the Sabbath blade wasn't too long, but it was just razor sharp. And it was glistening silver. And it was the prettiest thing I ever seen. It just fit my hand exactly. And I was holding it. I said, isn't that pretty? Now, that was why he said that he was inclined to believe it was a vision. He went to pray with his hand held. Oh God, what do they mean? The dreams of the brethren and the vision, everything coming together. He didn't understand.
While he was praying, suddenly a sword struck into his hand. Okay? Fit my hand exactly, and I was holding it. I said, isn't that pretty? I look at it and I thought, but you know, always afraid of a sword. He was always afraid of a sword. I was kind of glad that I live out of the days that they used them. You know, the day that it was sword, nothing else. They used sword to fight. If you are not strong, if your hands are not strong, they will just use the sword to pierce your stomach. That's the end of that person. You can imagine warriors in those days that will use sword. How they have to train their hands to face opponents. You know? Of course, they have shield anyway. They don't just fight ordinarily. They have their shield that they use to defend themselves. But you must have strong hand here. That will be able to withstand the force with which the person is bringing the sword. Not let alone now facing a giant with the sword. You know the servants of David that kills some of those giants. Can you remember in the Bible? Even if God had permitted David, you know, though he didn't go with sword anyway. And God knew we wouldn't need any sword. So that's why I didn't go with a sword. But if he had carried sword in his hand to face Goliath, he would still kill Goliath. He would still kill him because he won't be using his strength. It will be divine strength of Jehovah. Yes. What God will do, God will do anyhow. But he made a choice how he will go about it. But you know, I was always a bit of sword. I was kind of glad that I live out of the days that they used them because I'm afraid of a knife. And so I thought, what would I do with that? And while holding in my hand, a voice from somewhere said, that is the king's sword. And then he left me. Well, I wonder what it meant. That is the king's sword. And I thought, if it would have said a king's sword, it would have been that I would have understood it. But he said the king's sword. Capital King, D, the article. If not use the article A, use the article D, particularizing it, pointing it to one single person. And then he's using the capital K for king. Yeah. But he said the king saw. So I may not have this right, but I thought there's only one, the king, that's God. And the sword is this, sharper than a two-edged sword. See? And ye abide in me and my words. And I thought, in dwelling, you see, and as I understand, I don't understand one word of it, but one principle of dwelling, but the best of my understanding, the knife striking across, and then finally the swords. If they lock the enemy and you lock the swords like this, then it takes the strength of the man dwelling. Because see, his word will be pointing to my heart and mine to his, but they are locked. And our knives striking each other, and then they strike, and then the sword come together. And the one that can shove the other one down, the sword is straight to the heart. Even though the sword be the sword, it takes the hand of strong faith to hold it there, to bring it to the heart of the enemy. It has to be a strong hand. But this time around, because it's not a physical sword, it's a spiritual sword, it takes a spiritual faith strength to be able to put it in the heart of the enemy. Now, not knowing these things, all that I have received of him that I can tell, I have told you. So that, you know, I believe, wasn't it our Lord said all that he has received of the law that he had told and waited nothing? And so we want to do those things just as they come. Now, if you will be real wise and pray, I am sure you will understand something pretty soon. Now, something that I hope is revealed. The seventh seal, paragraph 274. Alright, the prophet says, one morning, I got up and went into Sabinokeon, those great rugged high mountains. And I went up there, and there's a little foot trail after you led off. After you lead off, go on up into Lemon Mountain, which is a 30-mile walk, near about 30 foot of snow up there. So up in the mountain, real early before day, going up through this little foot trail, rolling rocks along, I felt led to turn this away. And I turned, and I went up into some great jagged rocks. Oh my, hundreds of feet high. And I lay down between those rocks, and I lay down this Bible, and I lay down this book, this little tablet. I say, Lord, this little tablet, this Bible. And I said, Lord, what does this vision mean? I said, Lord, does it mean my dying? You remember I told you, I thought it might mean my death, because something exploded and it shook me to pieces. You remember it? We narrated the vision the previous week, last week. You remember it? How many knows it? Have heard it? Why? Sure, see all of you. And I thought he could mean my death. And then in the room, I said, what was the law? What does it mean? Does it mean I am going to die? If it is, all right, I won't tell my family. Just let me go on. See, if my work is finished. I said, now, what was it? But I sent a witness, but he sent a witness back. You remember me telling you? When he said, if it means my death, then let this power take me this way. Nothing happened. He said, but if it does not mean my death, it means another thing. Let your power take me. Let me feel your power again. He said the power came, almost took him from one end of the building and of the room and took him to the other end. That's the witness he's referring to here. We read all those things so that we'll be able to connect all of them together and make a whole picture for yourself. If the Spirit will help. You see, that is why he came in this the seventh seal, to come and narrate the entire thing, which I told you is just a part of it here that we want to consider. So he sent a witness back. You remember me telling you that it wasn't that, it was the furtherance of my work. Oh, you get it? But he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to know specifically what was this all about. Furtherance of my work. Oh, you get it? See? And setting up in Sabinokeon, the Heavenly Father knows this, just as true as you see that come to pass. Those angels come right down. And they vindicated every message to be the same. Then you know whether it comes from God or not, it was foretold you by vision. What is the prophet saying in that paragraph 283? I want you to understand it. 283, yeah. See, and sitting up in Sabinokeon, the Heavenly Father knows this. Just as true as you see that come to pass. As true as you see that come to pass, those angels come down, right down, and it vindicated every message to be the same. Then you know whether it comes from God or not. It was foretold you by revision. I couldn't tell you until the service is over, because I was forbidden to. Now, what is the prophet saying here? After the revelation of the seventh seal, seventh! Let them see the title of that sermon. The seventh seal. He has preached the first seal, he has preached the second, he has preached the third, fourth, fifth seal. This seal that we are preparing to go into. Because after he has preached all of them, he was now on the seventh seal. He's not talking about this. I hope we get it. I hope we get it. We will get it. Yeah. All right. I cannot explain anything the prophet has said. Are you with me? I can't explain it. We all have to take it and ask God to give us revelation of what he has said. Because the prophet made us to know that even the mystery, after they are revealed He said there is still the element of what? The mystery still remains. So that it takes revelation for individual to catch it. In the seven churches. Despite the mysteries revealed, he said there is still the element of that mystery still hanging on it. So that it is not just by letter, it has to be by revelation that you will catch it. I have an understanding of what God is doing.
Praise be to God.
So in Sabino Canyon, sitting up there, that morning, I had my hands up. The wind had blown my old black hat down. I was standing there with my hands up, praying. I said, Lord God, what does this mean? I can't understand it, Lord. What am I to do? If it is my going home time, let me go up here. It's way where they will never find me. Let me just leave from here. No, they will never find me. I don't want nobody to be mourning around if I'm going. I want just the family to think that I just took a walk. Maybe like Enoch. And they will not find me. Hide me away somewhere. If I'm going to go away, why? Let me go. Maybe Joseph will find my Bible laying here someday and let him use it. See? I am going away. Let me go, Lord. And I had my hands out. And all at once, something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say, did I go to sleep? Can you see what he said just before the previously? Did I go to sleep? I don't know. Or did I go into a trance? I don't know. Was it a vision? I can't tell you. Only thing I can say is just the same thing like the angels were. And it struck my hand. And I looked, and it was a sword. And it had pale handles, repeated. And a guard over it with gold. And the blade looked like something like a chrome, like silver. Only it was really shiny. And it was so feathered. Edge sharp. Oh my. And I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit my hand. I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I am always afraid of them things. A sword? I thought, what will I do with that? What will I do with that? And just then the voice shook down through there that rocked the rocks and said, it is the sword of the king. And then I come out of it, the sword of the king. Now, if he said a sword of a king, but he said the sword of the king, and there is one, the king, and that is God, and he has one sword, that is his sword, what I have lived by, that so help me God, standing over his holy desk here, with this holy word laying here, it is the word. Amen. Oh, what a day we are living in. What a great thing. See the mystery and secret. The thought. Standing there, when this left me, something just come to me and I said, don't fear. Now I don't hear no voice. Like on the inside of me spoke, I have to just tell you the truth. Just exactly what happened. Something hit and said, don't fear. That is the thought pool. Praise be to God. You will remember the experience of the prophet. You know, when this thought pool came up, especially when he was teaching when he was being taught by the angel, he had a vision where he was being taught on how to fish. You can remember that. And that is where the issue of pools came from. The first pool was, you know, where he began to perform signs and wonders, going up and down, and he became popular. He related with the ministry of Jesus Christ, where he said Jesus Christ also had three pools in his ministry. He said, prophet of Galilee,
people was doing signs and wonders everywhere. They were all riding around him. He said, like himself, his first pool, Pentecostals were coming here. They were inviting him, come and do this, and the rest of it. And we remember the time where a letter was written, advertised, Brabram was coming to a particular place. You know, the Pentecostals were capitalizing on that, pulling people together. And there was a particular congregation where the advertised Brabram was coming, but Brabram didn't know about it. Can you remember that? How many of you can remember that? Yes. They were capitalizing on that first pool. You got a pool crowd. Signs and wonders. Everybody wanted healing here, this and this and this. And so these particular people gathered together and sent invitation out and say, hey, Brabram is coming to the city, he's coming to do this. Brabram didn't know anything about it. And the people gathered. They sang and they passed plate offering. And then eventually they told them that, well, they are sorry, Brabram is no longer coming or something like that. Brabram said, I'm not responsible for that. The angel, he only made use of his name to make money. The Pentecostals. I was, that is not to slide on anybody. The prophet told us there are three head planters. Three head planters that are written and promised in the Bible. Amen. The three head planters, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and William Branham. Can you remember that? These three head planters, Oral Roberts, you know, planted for the Pentecostals. Oral Billy Graham planted for the Orthodox denominations. Why? Brabram planted for the brides. Oral Roberts was the type of a Pentecostal man that pulled for money. We consider it here. We compare the three of them sometimes in the Sunday school long ago. Long ago. And where Oral Roberts was, there was a time he told his congregation, he took it out, published it, that God told him to go and build a university that he needed so many billions, that if he didn't get it within a certain time, that God said he would kill him. It came in newspaper. We treated it here in the Sunday school here. And that happened when I was going through a clip that I saw. That's why I say I'm not slaying on anybody. It is in the public domain. What I'm saying is in the public domain. I was going through that clip and I saw the general overseer of Redeemed Church announcing to the people that the father told him that he needed so much money and he needed just 10 people to give him 1 billion each. Are you with me? I'm standing here, I'm not exaggerating. And it's not AI. It's not AI generated. Because there are so many things in the internet today that are AI generated. You have to be able to filter it, so that you don't become gullible. Don't just swallow everything. You have to know, you have to identify the characteristics of AI. Any product that comes from AI, you must be able to identify them from the original. So, Annie was telling the congregation that he needed 10 people to come and give him 1 billion each. And he needed about 100 people, something like that, to give him 100 million each. 100 million each. That is the spirit of Oral Roberts on the Pentecostals. Pulling for money. Now, why am I dropping this? It's for us to see that our prophet in his time, he never pulled for money. He never pulled for money. That was why he made decisions. He said he identified that three things that are problem to ministers, particularly, and then to the congregation in general. He said women, money, and popularity.
He said popularity kills Saul. Money kills Judas Iscariot. And women kill Samson. He said he had prayed to God that God will help him to keep him away from this. He said as for women, he doesn't have problem. He said as for popularity, he said he's not a showman. He said but for money, not because he's interested in being rich. He said the campaign, his ministry require money. He said but he has made promise to God that if the meetings that he will organize will not sustain itself, then he will have to stop. He said if the meeting cannot carry the expenses, the offering and the rest of it that people will donate will not meet the expenses of the campaign, and he could not. Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, it's a Balaam for money. Yes, according to Jude. That's all right. Thank you, sir. So he made a promise that he was not going to pull for money like other people pull for money. So he said the meeting will have to sustain itself. And there was a time that the meeting could not sustain, then that he had deficits. What did he do? He pulled out of the field. He said that is the promise. His wife was telling him that you are wrong. His son was telling him that you are wrong. He told them that look, that is the promise I made to God. If the campaign cannot take care of the expenses, I will not pull for money. And God was always very, very faithful. And that is what we have also inherited. That is the seed that has been planted to us. May God be our help. Let us borrow from that as individuals. Let's bow our heads.
Dear Lord, we are grateful to you for sharing us into a new week again. We thank you very much, Heavenly Father, for the week that just ended. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day of the week, your watchful eyes was upon us. You guided each step we took. You met our needs on a daily basis. We thank you for the services and the blessings, personal consecration, reading of your word, our praying, our family altars, and the services in the church. We are very grateful. Another week is starting. We are asking for more of your blessings upon us this week again. Thank you very much, Lord, for this way that you have made known unto us. We are very grateful. May your name be praised, Lord. A portion of this message has gone forth again this morning. Lord, the prophet said, therein is the rapture of faith. As it goes forth, O God, may our rapture of faith be increased, Lord. May you meet with each and every one of us at the point of our needs. Whatsoever we are looking unto you for, meet us at the point of our needs, Lord. Our needs differ from person to person, but whatever physical, material, financial, spiritual, most especially, Lord, you are the only one that have resources that is inexhaustible. While you are blessing your people, please, Master, open send your force by. It's our prayers. Thank you for these blessings. Bless yourself and replenish him for the virtue that left him. When we are in expectation for